Welcome to Valley of Growth, the podcast where abundance, joy, and impact are rooted in our faith in God. We're your hosts, Aaron and Kofi. Through inspirational stories, thought-provoking discussions, and faith-based principles, we aim to provide you with the guidance needed to navigate the valleys of life and emerge stronger on the other side.
Good morning, everybody. Good afternoon and good evening. We are here again once again to bring you a message to help hopefully improve and help you along your journey in your valley. This is the Valley of Growth, and we are here, Kofi and Aaron. If you're new to our channel, welcome, and we appreciate you being here because we enjoy it.
Subscribe and like.
I always hear people say that all the time.
I don't think we've ever used that on here.
No, it's like a lot of YouTubers are like, subscribe, like, hit that notification.
I don't think
on podcasts we have that.
Just thank you for listening.
Yeah, thank you for listening. So we talked about the Sermon on the Mount the last couple weeks, and there's a lot to dissect and dive into. So we're going to keep flowing with it. And so if you want to follow along, we're in Matthew 5. The biggest thing for us, if you're new to our channel, and if you're just coming back, is we want to bring Christ into our self-development. We want to bring Christ into our valleys of growth where we lean on Him, we learn from Him so we can improve and become better. And so we'd like to have you guys come and meet with us, hang out with us, discuss things. If you have any friends, family members that would benefit from our message, share it with them. We can all benefit. But there's a lot to go into with this. And so I believe we're on, I think we talked about 11 already.
We talked about 11, so we're on 12 now.
Yep. So I'm just going to read it. To rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. So I think he's teaching us here, and you could kind of chime in, is no matter what happens, just know that it has happened to other people. If you go through trials, if people persecute you, if you're having a hard time, just rejoice because it happened to the best of them. If you're good or bad, it doesn't mean when trials come your way, it doesn't mean it's a punishment. It just means it is a trial of your faith to see if you are going to be refined in God's image, or are you going to just give up and not grow in Christ's image? So that's kind of how I perceive that.
Well, but think about it this way.
Okay.
Good people get persecuted.
All the time.
Bad people get persecuted.
Yep.
But one of those have a reward.
Mm-hmm.
And the reward is in if you're being persecuted for Christ.
For His sake.
Because you can be good and get persecuted and you won't get any reward.
Because if it's for Christ's sake.
That's right.
Then
if it's for Christ's sake, then you get the reward.
See, that's deeper. I like that.
But with that understanding, that kind of helps you kind of when you get into that time where somebody's persecuting you. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, bad people get persecuted.
Yeah.
You know, people want to get rid of them. They just say, hey, they need to go. We hear that every time in our life, in our society right now, where it's almost looked like it's somebody's turn every month to get persecuted for evil.
Right.
That they've done to people.
Right.
And then also people get persecuted for Christ. But once that happened, especially now, once that happened, people go into the shell of playing victims.
Mm-hmm.
Because they feel like they've been victimized for their faith.
Mm.
And they start to where, instead of being strong and knowing that God is with them and their reward is in heaven, they have the mentality of victimization, which is not what God wants to see.
No.
Or have you feel.
And that's where this scripture comes right into play.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when some people go to church, and unfortunately the church is imperfect, right? You go to church and people may say something, may gossip, it may offend you. And then the person is feeling offense and they may fall away. They may lose their faith, but it has to come back to this specific scripture where it's like, you know, it says here, it be exceedingly glad because you know where your reward is.
That's correct.
For my sake, you are showing up
mm-hmm.
to your life, trying your best to follow Christ. And come what may, just know you got to stay the course and know who you're truly serving.
And joy and gladness doesn't come from focusing on the victimization or the persecution that's going on. You know, when Paul was in jail, right?
Mm-hmm.
What was he doing? He was still preaching.
Preaching. He knew. Yeah.
Because he was waiting for the time for God to show up. And God did show up.
Yep.
See what I mean? So.
Well, also Joseph in Egypt.
Correct.
Same thing.
Same scenario.
Yeah.
So there's been a lot of circumstances that's happened, either in your life or a story from the Bible that would let you know that there's people before you who mm-hmm. have been through these same things.
Yeah.
Is God pattern. Put them through. That's right.
Yeah.
It has to be. Because either way, you are persecuted, good for good or for evil.
Might as well get your reward.
For good or for evil. Yeah. But for Christ, there is a reward.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Yeah.
For Christ. It's a very good distinction there. Helper. Because again, you can be, like you said, you could be a good person
mm-hmm.
doing the right things.
That's right.
But are you doing it for your glorification or mm-hmm. are you doing it to glorify Christ?
That's correct.
So what are our motives? We got to check our motives, right? Mm-hmm. Are you showing up to work to, and we talked about this last week, you know, we worship through our actions.
Correct.
At work, correct. At play.
Every day.
Wherever we're at. It's every not day. Just a Sunday thing.
No.
So we have to do that. So are you the salt of the earth? But if the salt has lost his savor, wherefore shall it be salted? So I was just talking about this a little bit ago. We're just salting food and, you know, that people may not understand that, but. Well, I'll just continue reading. It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out. Because when salt is no longer, you know, it's just get rid of it, right? Because you can't, it's not any use. You can't, it's not going to help your food. It's going to make it taste nicky. What do you got?
Well,
what do you got?
Well, I discovered something about salt this week.
Please share. All right.
I think that's by divine intervention.
Oh, yeah. Good timing.
So, did you know that if you wanted water to absorb in your system, mm-hmm. you have to add a little bit of salt?
To be into the cells.
That's correct.
Correct. Right, right.
So I'm not sure because I didn't read this before I came here this morning.
Okay.
But I tell you what, after hearing that.
Okay.
And after hearing the benefits of salt, now I look at the scripture differently. Cool. So it says, you are the salt of the earth.
Yeah.
And the benefit of salt is actually to enhance and also to dry out.
Correct.
It has multiple purposes, but we only look at the other one.
Okay. Keep going. I like it.
We only look at the other one.
Right.
The negative part. But salt is actually a good thing.
Right. Because it enhances. But if you have lost your savor.
That's correct.
You're no use.
No.
So you don't absorb. So now salt, if we're the salt of the earth, right?
Correct.
And we take this in. Like every morning I drink.
Because salt absorbs everything you put on, it absorbs.
So when you drink, when you have salt and then you have fluids, your water, right? Christ is living water.
Correct.
We are the salt. We are the instruments in his hand.
That's correct.
And so when we are going through our life, the salt of the earth, we are allowing his gospel to be absorbed to people because we are the salt of the earth.
That's correct.
Now,
whoever is thirsty, let him come and drink. And this didn't. This just happened to me this week. I learned that, and all of a sudden I go, uh-oh, I never thought about salt that way.
Me neither.
I never thought about salt that way. I thought about it in that same way, but I was looking at it from a negative connotation.
Mm-hmm.
Like if I wanted to dry something out, then let me use salt.
Well, because I know like with water, like in the health industry, every morning I drink celery juice because it has a lot of healthy salts, sodium crystals in it. You need the sodium to absorb nutrients.
Into the body.
Right. But I never made it into a spiritual
connection. See, now that whole passage makes different sense to you now.
100%.
Huh? The clarification is there now.
Yeah.
You're just like, oh, that's the same thing that happened to me this week.
Yeah.
I was just like, wow.
Salt of the earth. Right. You hear that term all the time, like he's the salt of the earth. You know,
you hear that term, salt and light.
Absolutely.
People use salt and light, you know.
Yeah.
You hear that all the time. Yeah. But that's what that means. Because when you absorb, so if you are the salt of the earth, what are you absorbing? Living waters. Where's living waters
Christ.
Coming from? Christ.
Wow. I like that. That's really good. Those are like nice nuggets that you get, inspiration. Revelation.
But you can only know this if Christ wants you to know this.
Right. Yeah.
Because understanding of the scriptures only comes through the Holy Spirit.
Well, that's why Christ taught in parables.
That's why when you read and you study the Bible in your own time, in your own safe space, God puts things
mm-hmm.
in your vicinity to remind you and put the scripture together of what scripture is saying. Based on who you are, where you are at, and where you're going.
Now, we know being the salt of the earth has all these benefits. Now, how do we become So many people listening, they're on their journey. And we're on the journey too. We're in the valley. Everybody has their own valley.
That's right.
How do they become, or how do we become the salt of the earth? People may not know that they are. They may be, but how do you become?
Well, it already says that you are. So then where do, if you are salt of the earth, then the salt of the earth either make you thirst for living water because you are absorbed by the Holy Spirit. Oh, let me put it this way, trying to get it. Because salt makes you thirst.
Correct.
So if you make you thirst, then what are you thirsty for?
Water.
And which water do you want?
You want the living water, which is
which
Christ.
Which is Christ, which is the word of God, which is time with God, which is all of that. Mm-hmm. And that's what feed that.
And so if you're on that journey, you know you are the salt of the earth because you constantly want to learn. So there is an easy way to identify if you are.
That's your
that
source.
That you've got in there, that you are there, that you are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's your source that fills you and refuels you.
Mm-hmm. And you always have to need it. Otherwise, you're going to dry out and you're not going to feel good.
That's correct.
I like that, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So good. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. So that's kind of where I go into 15 as well. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick and giveth light unto all that are in the house. So it's just one thing like that I always liked is wherever there is light, there can never be darkness. If there is a light, shadows are cast, but a shadow can never live in light. Darkness can never be in light. So if we are the light, we know that we're good.
Well, but that's exactly the point of, you know, because the opposite of light is darkness, as simple as that sounds.
Yeah.
And everybody thinks about that. But in order to clear darkness, you need more light.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, when you're fully filled and you are the salt, all of a sudden you become the light to the rest of the world.
Yeah.
And then what happens is you can't hide light.
No.
So wherever you are at, that light will be seen, you know, whether on the top of a hill, you know, in a dungeon somewhere, that light will still be seen. It's
Well, just like a lighthouse
correct.
On the ocean.
Correct.
It's just one of those things where
you can't hide it.
You can't hide it.
You can see from miles and miles away.
And I think when you're the light of the world in your sphere of influence, people are going to be gravitated to you. They're going to say, they may not understand right away that you are a believer in Christ and you're trying to perpetuate his gospel, but they know something's different.
But that's everywhere you go.
Yeah.
That's everywhere you go. I mean, you can go from one state to the next, from one office to the next, from, you know, you would always be known for your light.
Mm-hmm.
And here's another thing too that I heard about that I also thought. In a nuclei, you know how science in the nucleus, what is in the middle of the nucleus? If you go all the way down.
Like atom?
Yeah, in an atom.
Proton, in a nucleus. Neutron.
What's if you dissect them, you go all the way down. Mm-hmm. What they've found is there's light.
It creates light.
It creates light in the middle of it.
No way.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, if God wasn't showing himself to be God, I just don't know. I just don't know. Like, if you're not paying attention.
Right.
I just don't know how you get to live life without any understanding.
It's hard.
So light is really part of our DNA.
Yeah.
Light is part of our DNA. The only question becomes is, it is not a light that you put there.
You already have it.
You already have it. And it's a light that enhance and have who sees your light.
Mm-hmm.
Who sees your light? You have the Holy Spirit on your side. Who sees the Holy Spirit? Demonic.
Oh, I see the spiritual realm.
The spiritual realm.
I see what you're saying.
Because you can't see that.
No.
What he's talking about is a spiritual light.
Yeah.
Which is put in you. And the Holy Spirit is a spiritual light on you everywhere you go.
It's that aura that you just feel.
That's correct.
Yeah.
What people see and what people feel and when people approach you and they give you that enhancement of what they see in words is what that is. That's the light. So in every room you go, in every car you sit, in every plane you sit, people notice that light.
And people describe it as he brightens the room up or she brightens the room.
That's
she lights the world up.
That's correct.
You know, because they are describing with the words that they only know what they're feeling.
What they're feeling
what they see it. Right. It's a real deal.
It's the real deal. Yeah.
That's really cool.
So in a way, they're describing exactly that light in you.
Mm-hmm.
They just have the terms to which they can associate with that.
Yeah.
Makes them feel like they're receiving something from you.
Yeah.
And vice versa, giving you a feedback of what they see.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like it. So it can't be hid if you're doing the right thing.
It can be hid.
You're good.
It can be hid.
So, and then, but what happens is going back to a couple of verses before that, just know when you are shining more light, you will be a bigger target. The devil will go after you. He will try to knock that light down. But just know, don't be despairing, but be joyous because it happened to the prophets of old. Just know you're on the right track. Just know that you got to just keep going. It's kind of like that revolving. You know, he's warning you in the couple of verses before. Said, well, blessed are you if you're persecuted for righteousness' sake, right? Be exceedingly glad because your reward is in heaven, because of heaven for the prophets. And then it goes into, okay, if you're the salt, you're absorbing me, then you're going to become the light of the world. And then you can't be hid. So I'm warning you first, don't stress, but when you are the light and the light gets bigger, you're going to be persecuted more. But in my sake, in my name, you'll be blessed.
You'll be blessed.
I like this, man. So we got even more to talk about. We're going to keep talking about this until we're done.
I told you when we first started, man. I've dissected and listened to that for so many times, man, over and over. And every time I go back to the Sermon on the Mount, I get something different out of it.
Yeah,
I think the Sermon on the Mount, to me, for people out there, I might just say, I don't know all the 66 books of the Bible by heart.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But to me, so far, it's the complete message I have ever read and dissected.
Mm-hmm.
It's that message.
Well, it's probably the most important thing, because he's putting it all out there.
Yeah.
In one sermon.
Yeah.
How many hours? You know, this is what Matthew wrote down, and he has the most descriptive version of it. That was his personality. He just loved to document everything.
Yeah. So I'm on an amount. Yeah. For me. Yeah. It's been amazing. And it almost feels like every verse has got a little bit of understanding beyond what just the words are given to you.
Just like what we talked about today with the salt.
Yeah.
Perfect example.
Yeah. Yeah. That came in handy for learning that earlier. That's amazing.
It's cool.
Cool, man.
Sweet. Well, guys, thanks for hanging out with us this week. Hopefully your valley is nice and changing for you. Right now, this is a springtime for us. We're enjoying this change. So hopefully the change that you're having, you're enjoying. Having fun doing it, man. It's just good times.
Good times. I love it.
All right, guys. Catch you next week.
Next week. See ya.